Welcome to Right Now. I'm your host, Stacey Chadwell, coming to you live from Las Vegas.
Joining me tonight is Suzanne Falter Barnes and Jeffrey Van Dyke, who teach conscious business owners how to tap into spiritual guidance to develop powerful soul-based niches and offers. Their website, The Spiritual Marketing Quest, offers participants a transformational business journey in which they not only build irresistible platforms, become the leaders, must be to fully live from those platforms. Suzanne is a best-selling self-help author and former New York copywriter, marketing consultant, and freelance writer. She has been featured in More, Fitness, The New York Times, Women's Day, New Women, The Wall Street Journal, Self, The Christian Science Monitor, as well as more than 100 TV and radio programs. She is known as the web's leading expert on platform building, as she has built hundreds of enduring and successful brands online. Jeffrey Van Dyke is also a leader in the coaching industry and has helped thousands of people worldwide who ache to bring their gifts to the world find their higher purpose. Jeffrey has nearly two decades of experience in training and development, having worked in high tech before becoming a coach. While at Microsoft, Jeffrey worked personally with leaders such as Bill Gates, Donald Trump, Jack Canfield, Ariel Sharon, and Jacques Chirac. What? Thank you so much to both of you for joining us tonight. We are grateful to have you here.
Awesome. Glad to be here.
Yep.
So, Suzanne, how do you define writing success?
Well, I think that's just defined in terms of what your goals are. I mean, I it's real interesting because when I wrote my novel and published it, I thought I was going to be so successful. And I remember my agent saying, don't quit your day job, you know. And I was like, at the time I was working as a copywriter and a, you know, freelance advertising person. And I was like, oh, isn't he amusing, you know? Of course I'll be quitting my day job because I'm going to become this wildly famous novelist, you know? And, in fact, it was not successful, my book. Nobody bought it, but I didn't really ever think about that part. I just thought I was super successful because the publisher had published me, a major publisher even. I'd gotten media. I was written up in some magazines. People recognized me in the public as a writer. That was success to me. I forgot to add into the equation I can make money at it. Because I made my little $10,000 advance, and that was it, you know, on to the next book project, right? And, you know, that felt successful at the time, but interestingly, on some deep level, I hadn't yet fully integrated that I was a writer. I was still waiting somehow for the universe to prove to me that I was a writer. And I did have this kind of meltdown some years later when I was trying to sell the self-help book, How Much Joy Can You Stand, and 28 publishers had rejected it. And I was at my, you know, sort of nadir of hope and belief and despair in this project. And, you know, Spirit sort of took me by the shoulders and said, you're going to be a writer when you decide you're a writer. And that very afternoon, I was in a Starbucks in Times Square taking a break from my job at the New York Times. And I was working at the Times as a temporary employee, doing marketing programs for them. And I went kind of trudging back to this job I didn't really like. The Times is a great company, but I was a bad fit for it. I wanted to be a solo practitioner running my own business, you know. So I go trudging back to my cubicle, and I get back to work, and that afternoon I got fired. And the next day I sold the film option to my novel that had been a failure 6 years earlier. And that came out of the blue. Shirley MacLaine optioned it, you know. I was like, what? And then I started selling all these essays to publications, and then I got the book. I got the self-help book published by a small press. So it was like all these things conspired to show up when I decided that I was a writer. Because I had thought, okay, this is great. Random House published me. But in my heart, I still didn't feel like a writer. I felt like a fake. And then I claimed it for myself, and things began to really roll. That, to me, is writing success, when you know in your heart that you're doing the right thing.
I don't know if I have anything to add to that. You know in your heart you're doing the right thing?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of says it all, right?
Okay, that's a lot. I do have something to add to it, apparently. When you know in your heart you're doing the right thing, and you haven't left anything sort of on the table or, you know, in the closet or in the whatever, would you have said everything you need to say in the most elegant, succinct way you have to say it, if that's what's there to say.
Very good. Well, so, Jeffrey, what are your favorite writing tools?
Gosh, I don't know. Incense and good music.
Your notepad on your iPhone.
Yeah, you know, when Suzanne and I do a lot of our writing, especially sort of channeled content, we do sort of create sacred space for writing. So we do, you know, put on candles or incense or whatever, put on some gorgeous music. And my favorite writing tool is actually dialoguing back and forth of spirit. So oftentimes, even when I have to write, say, an e-zine article or something, I'll first ask spirit, knowing that the perfect people out there in the world will be opening this and reading it, and it's not my job to know exactly who those people are, but knowing that they exist and that it will happen, spirit, what do those people need to hear right now? And I just download, you know, Jeffrey, here's what they need to hear. What they're longing for is X, Y, and Z. And then I just write about that. So that's probably my favorite writing tool.
How about you, Suzanne?
Well, I've always been a big proponent of having notepads around, and I keep one by my bed, and I get a lot of ideas upon waking for things. Now what I do is I keep my computer next to my bed, and in the morning when I wake up, I usually go in and have a little chat with spirit, all through Word documents, in which I'm writing out my questions and spirit is delivering me information. But I often get ideas for blog posts, which is really the primary thing I write these days, my newsletter and blog posts. Or when Jeffrey and I are creating the Uplift content, the daily calendar, I'm taking his content and I'm adding pictures to it that I find on the web, which is a very similar process to writing for me because, you know, I'll read his nugget, like the ones he read earlier, and I'll go in and I'll Spirit will tell me something to Google, and I'll Google it, and I'll hit images, and there will be perfect pictures. And it's a very quick, efficient process. And I have to want, you know, really be in the place to receive guidance, which I always am as soon as I wake up. And that's really fun. Really fun.
So what are the three most important personal tips you could share for achievement and fulfillment through writing?
Three most important personal tips.
Mm-hmm. Always wear clean underwear.
Brush your teeth. Personal tips.
Sorry,
you are cheeky. You are so cheeky. Personal tips about writing, though. It's hard for me to rattle off personal tips about writing because I think it's such a private process. It is really, it's how we roll individually, and we all have to find our own voice and our own approach and our own way of going in. For me, I feel one of the key things to do is tell the truth. And keep a notebook handy. I was not kidding when I said one of Jeffrey's tools is to keep the notebook
app on
his iPhone handy, because he'll, like just today we were having lunch and he was saying something. And
we had
and
a conversation.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that's a blog post.
That's a blog post. And then I was like, okay, iPhone app, you know. And I love that because it's making making your ideas really accessible, because it's so easy to get great ideas and lose them. And that's why I keep notebooks around at night,
yeah,
you know, when I'm sleeping.
I always talk about, like, a dolphin cresting, and you have that moment to catch it before the dolphin goes back underneath the water. This afternoon it was the difference between moving product and moving people.
In how we approach sales.
Right.
Very good.
Yeah, personal tips for me, I have to clear. If I'm not in an open space, I have to get there before I can write. Because if I don't do that, you know, if I go in like, okay, now I'm going to write the difference between moving product and moving people, and I'm going to do this post, it becomes a very intellectual activity, and it's boring. not just for me, but for readers. It's like, it's lame writing. It's not inspired. And for me, inspiration does not come from just my own mind talking. It comes from a source beyond my intellect alone. So for me, if I notice that I'm sort of trudging through it, I just stop. I just like, okay, set down the computer, hold on. I meditate. I come back. I connect in with spirit and say, what am I really supposed to be writing about? What is there to say about this? What don't I know about the difference between product and people in terms of moving things? You know, what's the illumination here that's meant to happen? And so I have to, like, allow that into my heart and be in my heart and be willing to be moved before I can write anything that will move others. So, and then I guess one other tip I would say is one of my practices is to dialogue with different parts of my psyche. So, for instance, if I know for a lot of people, their internal judge will be up around writing, or their critic that criticizes the writing or judges it to be good or bad. And if anything like that's happening, I actually turn in my writing towards that which is quote-unquote getting in my way and interview it and see why it's doing it and what it needs and how it might join me versus sabotaging me. So in different ways, I sort of clear, get present, get in my heart, but those are different tools I use to do it.
All very nice. Suzanne, how did you come up with your book titles?
Oh, well, interesting about how much joy can you stand. I was in an elevator in 1983, I'm thinking, at an acting school in New York City that I went to. And this giddy, wildly happy, euphoric couple got in the elevator with me. And they were just feeling like, you know, so high on life and how high are they going to get on each other. It was, I mean, wow. And I said, man, you guys are really having a good time. And they said, well, you know, how much joy can you stand? And I just never forgot that. It was such a brilliant phrase. And when I was writing the book, the title just popped out. And it was like, exactly. That was exactly what I needed to call it. Because my book was really about the obstacles we put in our way to living our joy. Living Your Joy was a title that my editor suggested. It was the second self-help book in the package that I negotiated with Ballantine, the publisher of that book, those two books. And I thought it was kind of a boring title, but it was what they thought would build my franchise, and nobody bought it, so, you know, I don't know. They could have been wrong. It wasn't as interesting as How Much Joy Can You Stand? And truthfully, you know, there's no big process to titling except that you have to know what the book's about, and you usually can't know what the book's about till you've written it. That was particularly true, I found, with my novels. You know.
Well, what is the most important message in your books that you want the readers to grasp?
The How Much Joy book? I'd say the big message is, you know, that time's a wasting, and what's the point of hesitating and keeping yourself back, holding yourself back from those naturally guided gifts that you're here to share for people. And that was my message then in 1995 and 4 when I wrote that book, and it's my message now, you know, almost 26 years later as I work with Jeffrey. No. 16 years later? Help me with the math here. Okay, 16. Yeah, I'm not that old. 16 years later, as I'm sitting here in Jeffrey's living room and we're talking about these books and these writing projects and our blog and our uplift calendar, the message is still the same, which is that you've got something divine to do, that you are and you alone have been given, and there's absolutely no reason not to do it. And that's what we do in our spiritual business building work.
Excellent. So, Jeffrey, what books have influenced your life most?
Oh, gosh. It's so hard to answer that. You know what's interesting? I have read umpteen spiritual books, self-help books, personal growth books, business development books, etc., and none of them quite touch me like an amazing, well-written, like The Kite Runner. You know, it's just a story about someone and the personal journey and their relationship to the heart. So, you know, those and fables, like, you know, everybody's favorite, The Alchemist, it's just a great fable. And, you know, I was a professional cabaret singer in my 20s, and all my music is all storytelling music. So I love a great story that's really honest and speaks of the journey of the heart. So there's a bunch of them. I just read a Zaytoon, this book about a Muslim guy and his family during Katrina, and it was a superb book. Loved it.
How about you, Suzanne?
Favorite books?
Yes, ma'am.
God, I'm always reading like 6 books at once, and I have such passionate connections to a lot of them. The books that most have influenced my life, I'd say Edith Wharton's novels had a huge impact on me, and I'm not even sure why. I can't really articulate it except that she often had extremely independent women who were willing to kind of go their own way and face all odds. You know, Jane Austen, like Jane Eyre, the books, classic books from the 19th century about women stepping out. Robertson Davies' The Manticore is another incredible novel. You know, I've always enjoyed novels about the mind and how people become greater than they might have expected to be. And I'm a great lover of biography. I'm a history buff, and I really respond deeply to all kinds of biographies. Most recently, I read Mark Twain's biography, which was really fascinating. And now I'm living in San Francisco, and there was quite a bit about his life in that book. It's making me realize I want to go back and reread that part. Yeah, I'm just very turned on by the creative mind. I read Steve Martin's biography, which was just wonderful. Born Standing, something like that. But Steve Martin is a bloody genius. He synthesizes so many different talents, and it was really inspiring because a lot of it was about what a failure he was for the first third of his career, and he lived out of a suitcase on nothing and would just travel the country doing this comedy act with a banjo that nobody really got. And then all of a sudden he started taking people across the street for a hamburger at Burger King, and he would literally take the entire club, everybody in the audience, across the street from a hamburger, and then he'd buy a hamburger for himself, and they would all watch him, and then they'd all go back to the comedy club.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious.
It is. It's so random and so great and so risky. You know, I just love books where people take risks and are really rewarded. Anyway, I could go on about books. I'll stop.
Well, actually, if you could choose, which writer would you consider a mentor?
A mentor?
Mm-hmm.
Who is your mentor? Do you have a mentor up your sleeve?
Golly. Okay. I don't know if this would be a mentor or not, but like who I would love to hang out with, especially around writing, would be Augustine Burroughs.
Oh, you told me about Augustine Burroughs,
who wrote
right?
Running with Scissors and Dry.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he is nakedly honest, but wickedly funny at the same time. And I find myself, when I read his books, kind of like, I can't believe that this is in front of my eyes and that I'm reading this. And you're like seeing this, you know, this train accident happening in slow motion, essentially. And you're like, you know, and I find myself laughing out loud at things my mind says, you shouldn't be laughing at that. And I love that experience of, like, he just goes in, like, the moment I think you can't go any further, he does. And I love that. So I just love how his mind works in his writing. And I think it'd be a kick to hang out with him.
Yeah, so who has mentored me in terms of my writing? Well, I really think the person I would consider a mentor was a writer nobody on this call would know, which is my art history professor, Eugenia Janis, who has written many catalogs for many of the shows that she curated in major museums all over the world, because she was the person who really taught me to be a great writer, or, you know, to be my version of a great writer. She had extraordinarily high standards, and each week she would take one paper. We had to write a 10 to 20 page paper every week about different pieces of art we were looking at. And then she would take one paper and put it in a glass case in the museum as if it was an art object, and it would be the special paper every week. And you could just look at it from outside of the case and read the first page of it. And I'm happy to say that my paper was picked quite often to be in the glass case. And if it wasn't, I felt like a failure because I loved her so much. I just wanted to please her. I didn't have that relationship with my other professors at Wellesley. But I just, something about her totally inspired me because she got my ability and she saw how to challenge me correctly and really get me to take responsibility for my talent and my love for writing. If I didn't get my paper in that case, I wasn't performing up to snuff. The other thing she did that was great was she would let me rewrite my papers and submit them as many times as I wanted till I got an A+. And I did that again and again and again. I rewrote almost every paper 3 and 4 times for her. And that's what taught me how to put words together in a way that was really honest. And she's the one who taught me about microscopic honesty. And you know, I also want to say my dad actually really influenced my writing. He was an artist. He was a visual artist and a very, very successful and very fine artist. And what he did with his work was we would be sitting and painting something when I was a kid, and he would say, now look at the way that branch looks. Is that really the way that branch looks? And I would have painted it a certain way, and then I'd look again, and in fact, that was my idea of what the branch should be. It wasn't what the branch really was. So he taught me how to look at things, and then Eugenia Janis taught me how to put those things into words and to trust myself enough to believe that I could describe things in a way that would truly move people. And that's what, you know, that's what Jeffrey and I do, is we really give people permission to live into their greatness in their businesses. That's what teachers and great coaches have to do, is to see the potential in somebody and hold them accountable for it, you know?
And I think you both do a great job of that. Suzanne, Jeffrey, I really appreciate being on the show tonight. Thank you so much for all the generous information that you've shared with us.
Well, you're welcome, Stacey, and we really appreciate it being here.
It's been great. Thank you.
Do you have a website that you would like to share with us where people can get the daily download or the daily message that you were mentioning earlier and other information?
Yeah, absolutely. So I did read a few of those daily uplift quotes, and people can go to spiritualmarketingquest.com just to read about our work, the Spiritual Marketing Quest and the live events we do, as well as the VIP private coaching we do. And in terms of the uplift is just a free daily email, just a quick 1 or 2 sentence email people can get just literally for some uplift each day. And you can go to spiritualmarketingquest.com/blog/daily-uplift. That's /blog/daily-uplift.
Or people can just sign up for it right at the Spiritual Marketing Quest blog.
Yeah, so you can go to spiritualmarketingquest.com/blog, and it's on the right-hand side. It just says Daily Uplift, and you just sign up for it right there.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's been really great being with you.
It's been excellent being with you, too.
All right.
And thank you for joining us on Right Now. I'm Stacey Chabot. Have an excellent week.